Drehmoment, der Antriebspodcast von Danfoss.
Hello everybody and welcome to a new episode of Drehmoment, the podcast driving you. My name is Robert Weber, I am the host, and today we are talking about wastewater and how public companies can achieve CO2 reductions and save money at the same time. You can call it a win-win situation. Experts told me water and wastewater facilities count for 30 to 50% of the municipality's electric use. But in Europe, we have still old plants, and I want to know why. I have invited two guests, Klaus Hohmann from Aarhus in Denmark. He is responsible for one of the most modern wastewater plants in the world. Hello, Klaus.
Hello.
And my second guest is Mads Warming from Danfoss, who has seen many plants around Europe and can tell us a lot, especially about technology. Hello, Mads.
Hello.
Actually, we wanted to call this episode the Idle Wastewater Plant 2030. But Klaus and his colleagues have already been quicker. Klaus, what have you done? Why is Aarhus the Idle Wastewater Plant?
Yeah, I believe that Marselisborg Wastewater Treatment Plant is the plant for the future, because we have saved so much energy and produced so much energy at the plant that we are an energy producing wastewater treatment plant. And that is fantastic.
But why is your plant a role model for others? What are the differences to old plants in Europe?
I'm not sure the plant itself is very different from other plants, but our people at the wastewater plant dealing with the day-to-day operation set a goal many years back in the 90s, to reduce energy uses at the plant. And over many, many years, they have found technologies that have minimized the use of energy and also technologies that allows them to increase the production.
Mads, you want to add something? Why is it a role model for other European wastewater plants?
Yeah, I think that one of the very important things, if we so look at it globally, is that you'll see a few other plants also being able to at least cover their own energy needs. Klaus is producing the double. But what is very crucial to understand is that in opposite to what we see other places, that the Marselisborg plant is not added anything from outside. It's to put it simple, it's basically household wastewater, where we see a lot of other facilities, they either get sludge from other facilities or they get stuff from the food industry, which contain a lot of energy and carbon and so on. So what I really find unique is that the Aarhus facility here is purely based on using the energy which come out of, to be direct, the toilet of normal human being. It's not because there's a lot of industrial load or there is wind energy or solar energy or anything like that. It's purely what you can get out of the wastewater itself and which come into that one facility. And that is unique, and I think that's very important to have in mind. And the reason for it is then that because of that, one can copy what have been done in Aarhus. You don't need to have a specialty raised where you can get sludge from other places or you can get that and that. You just need normal household wastewater.
So, Klaus, how you achieved this goal? What are your results to have a CO2 reduction or to be carbon neutral? What you did technically and what you did with the people, with the operators, what they had to learn?
I would say our people has a vision mindset and a learning mindset. And also we created a benefit system that allows them actually to spend the money in new investment on results, meaning reducing cost at the plant. So we build up a motivation system. And in a technical matter, they are also becoming heroes among their colleagues in Denmark of what they have been able to achieve. So that has been important. And of course, they have visited IFAD and other seminars and colleagues also abroad and learned from them and taken these results home And we as a senior manager has supported these initiatives, which has been great success. So they're actually driving this initiative.
And what was technical realized, Klaus?
Technically, I would say the first and most important thing is automation. We have worked with automation and SCADA system for so many years, and that actually allowed us to put knowledge into the control systems and also operate 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 a year. And that is simply necessary to meet the new standard and new user, new equipment. And of course, we have drives on almost every pumps on the facility, which are important to be in control. And then we have worked with site liquor system treatment like Anamox. We have worked with the main system also to minimize the blower effect. So we have new efficient blower system, magnetic system when it came out. And we have replaced the old dewatering units, just to mention a few. And these investments actually were paid back over only 4.5 years. So we had a return on investment of 4.5 years, which is simply amazing.
Matthew, you want to add something to Klaus' technical?
Yeah, two things. The one is this about automatization, or what we nowadays call digitalization. I usually call it digitalization in practice, what Klaus have done, because it is really about relying on online sensors and relying on them so much that you let the computer do everything. So normally there is on Klaus' facilities, there is no people during nighttime because it's not needed. They are only there, in fact, during daytime to make service and so on. But what I want to add it also is that we were in fact investigating both at Klaus's facility and also on a couple of other facilities in Denmark, which are roughly at the same level. And they claim that of all the improvements they have made the last 10 years, 70% of all the improvements is coming from digitalization or automatization, whatever word we use for it. So 70% is coming from there, and that is...
What do you mean with digitalization 70%? What they had to do, they have a SCADA system, but what does it mean exactly to do it digital?
Yeah, digital for me is in fact to have a lot more information available, a lot more sensors than you normally had, mm-hmm. and then utilize these data also to more things that you did earlier. And that is exactly what they are doing. So they have a lot more sensor signals. They know a lot more about what is going on the facility. They use these sensor signals for different purposes. So for instance, they have a slots balance so that they can take as much slots out in the primary part of the facility, but just leave enough for the denitrification. It's getting into the technical things. But what it means is that they, on the one hand, save energy in their racing lanes and at the same time get more carbon for the digester and therefore produce more energy. So I think they have three or four, as I recall it, processes they have implemented where you, on the one hand, lower your energy consumption and at the same time increase your energy production. And the basic for that is sensors and controllability. And the sensors we have spoken a little bit about, and the controllability is coming from the Vibor speed drive they have all over the facility. So it's back to this philosophy understanding that if you're really in control, if you know exactly what is going on, you can, of course, adapt a lot better. And that's really a cornerstone in what they have done. And we have seen on a few other facilities more or less the same thing.
Klaus, how many new sensors you have in your plant?
We have many, and we buy everyone we need that can improve the treatment quality and also minimize energy uses and the energy production. And I think it is important that you are actually willing to invest. It's not the number that makes the difference. It's that you have the right ones. And they are pretty expensive, some of these sensors. But there's a lot of concern of moving from people control to digitalization or automation. And that's also why we have a three-level system. And the bottom level is a system that simply allows us to meet the effluent standard. And then we can build up also with computer modeling at the highest level running at a much better quality and expected uptime, but we are relying on modeling, like kind of a twin model for the plant. Mm-hmm. And time has shown that we're able to operate on level 3, but to be able to move down on first level if something goes wrong actually gives our operators the confidence in trying new processes and not only being in control, because we left control systems as such many years back. So we are out of control and leaving the control to the computers and the digital system.
What about the digital twin Klaus mentioned? Is it possible to change the processes first at the digital twin and then give it back to the plant?
I think maybe Klaus better can respond to that. But what I know is, and what is unique at that facility also, is that what we today is talking about is about how to save energy or get carbon neutral. But I also know that what it have offered them, which is a little bit of a response to your question, that is that they in fact are able to control what is their core activity. That is, of course, to clean the wastewater. But their capability to know exactly what is the ammonium, the nitrate content in the outlet, have improved tremendously based on that they have all these sensors. So in that way, you can say that, yes, they can play with it. They basically can decide, do we want to have a little bit higher ammonium in the outlet or nitrogen in the outlet and then save energy, or do we want to do the opposite? And that has something to do with what is the energy prices, how much money do they get back from government if they lower the concentration in the outlet. But what the point is really that you get so much controllability or control of what is going on. So you can begin to play with, do I want it to do it that way or that way, and twist and turn it a little bit.
But Mess, this is very, very bad for you, because you are not selling the sensors.
No, but I'm okay. I'm really the guy involved in selling the wireless speed drive, and Klaus would not be able to do a third of what he's doing or tenth of what he's doing if he didn't have the wireless speed drive. And maybe to put it a little bit in perspective, we are selling wireless speed drive also for the food industry, chemical industry, and so on. And there would be nobody there who will operate a facility as you operate a water and wastewater facility. Because in the food industry, you would then have maybe 10 hours you are producing, and there you would produce, let us say, at 80% level. Klaus have a situation, and everybody in the water industry have a situation, that you have a peak load in the morning, you have a peak load in the afternoon, and then you have maybe 10 or 20% load during the nighttime. And you are forced to operate 24/7. Mm-hmm. Now, because of that, if you go from more or less no control and then to full control and have the sensors knowing what you have to do, having the variable speed drive so you can regulate, then you gain so much. And that's why we see a much bigger difference in the water industry than we see in other industries about how effective it is. Because if you go to the full implementation, as Klaus have done here, you really see a huge, huge difference in the performance of the facility. And that's coming back to these major changes, low changes, which go on. And you can only adapt to if you have viable speed drive. So I'm very happy with what Klaus is doing.
Klaus, Mess talked about 70% is digitalization. What about the other 30%? What about efficient pumps and stuff like that?
It is important. But, you know, technology will improve over years. It's not only the system as such. I mean, it's how you operate the actual process. That is where automation comes in place. How you treat your water, how you produce, and etc. Because that's where the energy goes. And also you can save carbon and use that carbon for energy production. So you need to focus on the actual processes, like in a production industry, and not only the actual pump. I mean, people are so technology focused often, but it's not about technology only. It's about implementing and being able to take that risk of change, because many wastewater people see change as a risk of not meeting the effluent standard.
Mm-hmm. Mess, is it a holistic view of the processes? Is this the right wording, maybe?
For sure. if I see what is going on, there's a lot about then looking at, for instance, controlling the raising process or controlling something else of the processes. What is different here is also, again, a holistic view on the whole wastewater facility, even to the level where I know they measure in the inlet how much ammonium they get in and da-da-da, and because of that, they can pre-calculate what will the load 1 hour later be in the raising lane and so on. And it's this complete understanding of what is going on, which means that you can make a slots balance, which means that you can make a lot of the other things. So for me, it's certainly a holistic view, which is super important on the process side. I so much agree with Klaus, his comments on that it's also a culture. You need to have the operator on board. If you don't have the operator on board, this will not work. So you really need to have the operator on board. And then the last thing on holistic, that is that if I listen to sometimes what is coming out of Brussels or coming out of other places trying to push for energy efficiency, then we see, for instance, new regulations coming on that you need to use a more efficient motor, IE3 motor instead of IE2 or IE4. What do I know? That's all good. The only point is that you are improving with 1%. We are talking about dramatic improvement. We are talking about 70-80%. So you cannot with these components reach it. There's a few components on water facility. So for instance, high-speed turbo blowers, which are a key component, and one of the blower is one of the ones using a lot of energy. And there, and Klaus have implemented that, and there you are gaining 15% on using that type. So that is contributing to the 30% we were talking about. But else, it's really to get the mind twisted and understand it's the process regulation, which, or the digitalization, as we spoke about, which really have moved something from them.
Klaus, want to add something to Brussels, I think?
I would say we have many motivations why we do this. First of all, Aarhus Vand is covering the whole water circle, drinking water, storm water, and wastewater. Mm-hmm. And we are regulated, meaning that we had to save 2% a year on our operational cost. And this energy saving, etc., that I mentioned before, has given us a 3.6% on the overall company, which is 2 years savings almost. Secondly, we have a vision in 2030 to become energy neutral and carbon neutral in Denmark and hopefully also in Europe. And we are almost there. And just take the Marseilles plant covering 220,000 people equivalent. If we take the water services in the same area, Marseilles is actually producing enough energy to be able to pump groundwater up to the customer and pump some of the wastewater back to the plant and the treated wastewater in the Bay of Aarhus. All that energy neutral. And can you imagine how the world would look like, and even Europe would look like, if that was the principle? And this is just an old plant, Marseilles Bor, and has been retrofitted. So there are many possibilities.
What is the potential of carbon neutral production and saving energy from wastewater plants all around Europe? Do you have some numbers or some facts?
We know from we had a cooperation with International Energy Agency for some years ago, and they make this big book. We get each year 700 pages talking about where is energy coming from, and then for many years they have also looked into what can we do of energy saving as a part of the Paris Agreement and all these things. And one of the things they have looked into is exactly, for the first time at least I have seen global data and also European data, is to look at what is in reality the energy consumption. And the energy consumption from water and wastewater facilities in Europe is claimed to be 3.5% of our total electricity use. And on global level, it's around about 4%. 4% is the water and wastewater facilities using. That is equivalent to all electricity being used in Russia, just to put it a little bit in perspective. So if everybody was copying Klaus, then we would get a major reduction in our electricity consumption. And if I should add another interesting calculation to this. There is the SGD goals, also the United Nations global goals. And some of them is, of course, related to water, about water scarcity. But some of them is also related to secure that people have clean water and the environment is also okay. The aim is that before 2030, we should globally go from that 20% of wastewater is treated on the globe until 60% is treated. So within the next 10 years, we have to build quite a lot of wastewater facility on a global scale. Now, the International Energy Agency was a little bit concerned about that because they knew very well that if we do it the traditional way, then you will have a major increase in energy consumption. So we do then something good for the water environment, but we do something bad for our air or the climate. We invited them, in fact, to Aarhus. So they've been up there and looking at it themselves. And the calculation they made came out with that if you try to build wastewater facility just the traditional way and operate them traditional way, or the way that Claus operate them, the difference is 650 terawatts, and that say nobody anything. But if I now tell that 650 terawatts, that's equivalent to all the energy coming from all coal power plants in Europe. So basically, if we were building these facilities and did it the Claus way, then we could close all these, or it would be the same as closing all coal power plants in Europe. So that's quite amazing. So yes, there's really a lot to gain. And I think what is super important to understand here is that there's no need for rebuilding the whole facility. Claus have not rebuilt it. It is an old facility. He have upgraded with a lot of sensors, a lot of variable speed drive and other things which we like. And he have a return on investment on I think he was saying 4.5 years, and that is in Denmark. Then I know the electricity prices in Germany is, I think, close to 60-70% higher on the industrial side than they are in Denmark. So the return, for instance, in Germany as a major country in Europe would be even faster than what Claus have seen. So all in all, it's not just to being green, it's also good business. There is a lot of motivation, in fact, as I see it, for moving that way.
So, Claus, let's talk about money. How much money you save? Because Metz has very impressive numbers. What about the money you save?
Well, we spend the money we save.
That's good.
Except the money that actually is reducing our cost for water. So, I mean, it also benefits our customer. And that's the whole idea of the Danish regulation, reducing our operational cost by 2% a year. So that is quite substantial. And I mean, being able to pay these installation after 4.5 years, that means that we have operational cost much lower for several years to come, and also money to invest in new technology. So far, we have been able to find the money to invest. But I mean, when you cut down on your operational cost, you also cut down on your flexibility to invest in innovation. And that's why when Mads mentioned United Sustainable Goal, SDG goal number 17 is about partnership. And we don't take the full credit for what we're doing, actually. We work with companies like Mads and Danfoss and DHI and others who, in partnership, help us to create the future, so to speak. And we have a partnership model that we actually share some of the results that we get, and also have an aim to create a joint business and products, and where we can support Danish export in the future. So, I mean, there's a lot of value to be created. And when you are in a triple helix innovation kind of cluster collaboration, which we are in Denmark, we have the Danish water cluster, then you can actually find the benefit for yourself, but at the same time, creating value for others.
Mads, you want to add something, because now we talk about money. How can German wastewater plants invest? How much they need to invest, and what they can save?
I don't know if I have a figure about how much they have to invest. What I have, and probably Klaus can contribute to, is that a lot of the things Klaus have invested in, especially if we look at the digitalization as we spoke about, that is in fact not big money compared to what they else invest in water and wastewater facilities. But I'm sure Klaus can add something to it. What I wanted just to follow up on was also that there was a little bit talk about how much commitment is there to these things. Is it building up? And what I want to add to it was that Klaus was shortly touching on an aim in Denmark to become climate and energy neutral in 2030. And that's true. The Danish government have set that goal. And I think it's very strong that the government now go in and say they have seen the light. They are convinced that this is the right way to push this industry, because this industry, of course, is depending on that there's also regulation coming, because there's not the normal competition in the same way as you all see it in other industries.
There's a Danish government initiative, I think, also in Brussels to do the same in the whole Europe. So something is coming there.
Yeah, exactly. And that was my next thing I would touch on. That was that the Danish government and the EPA from Denmark have been in invited to present in Brussels the concept which are used in Denmark. And we as Danfoss, together with Aarhus Water, in fact, was also I think it was 2 years ago, invited to present down in Brussels. So there is a lot of interest in Brussels about what was possible here, or what have shown to be possible here. And the key reason that there also is so much interest right now is that the wastewater directive, the directive coming out of Brussels regulating what the wastewater facilities should do the next many years, is up for revision right now. And that's exactly the discussion going on right now. Should such a wastewater director, which traditionally only have have focused on to secure that the water is treated as it should be, and that is, of course, still the core. But should there be another dimension also, that because we know it's possible, exactly what Klaus have told, then that there's another dimension that, yes, you have to clean your water, but you also have to do it without using energy or even producing energy or whatever the rule is. I don't know what it will be, but that is basically the option, that it's not good enough, the thinking. It's not good enough only to treat the water. You also have, because it's possible to do it without using energy. And there, at least, the Danish government have decided that they want to become the first country globally, if possible, where the whole water industry, the small facility, the big facility, the drinking water, the wastewater, everything is both energy and carbon neutral in 2030.
So, Klaus, Aarhus is a role model for whole Europe, for the whole world. Congratulations to you, to Denmark, with this very interesting approach of wastewater plant, not to build wind turbines on solar energy to become carbon neutral. So use technology very intelligent, have a mind shift, and you have a return on invest on 4 years. It was a very impressive episode with both of you. Thank you very much to Matt, and thank you very much to Klaus, and greetings to Denmark.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much too.